1 Corinthians chapter 6. It begins in verse 1, saying, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" So that's the statement. The question that's been proposed to me is, in Paul Sadler's commentary on Ephesians, he states that as sons of God, we are destined to judge men and angels at the great white throne judgment. And then he references the passage, 1 Corinthians 6, 2 and 3. And he asked me to elaborate on this. Well, that was difficult to do. I have the commentary from Paul Sadler, who is now with the Lord, and if his statements are wrong, he's got it corrected. But I want to read you the paragraph that comes from. And it's kind of fitting even for the day. He writes in his, now this is his commentary on Ephesians. I'll explain a little bit here. Imagine Gentiles who were once alienated and strangers are now sons of God. We are heirs of his grace, not by works, but according to his good pleasure. That's grace. Just as the United States Constitution guarantees that every American has inalienable rights, which other governments can never take away, we too have rights and privileges as citizens of heaven. In addition to being seated with Christ in heavenly places, we are going to rule and reign with him. In fact, as sons of God, we are destined to judge men and angels at the great white throne judgment. And then he quotes 1 Corinthians 6, 2 and 3. Verse 2 says, "Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things pertaining to this life?" Well, how he relates 1 Corinthians 6, 2, and 3 to the great white throne judgment of Revelation. Hold your place in 1 Corinthians 6. Come back to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works." Verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to his works." They stand before God and are judged. How Pastor Sadler would relate that to us judging at the great white throne, I have no idea. In fact, I wish I had. After he died, they have printed his commentary or his notes on the book of Revelation. And if I had that commentary, I would go to this verse and see how he would put us there when it says that they're going to stand before God and be judged. Because I don't see a link. And somehow he saw a link, and I can't see it, because it's always God that's going to judge. Where I'm going to go with this, if you go to Isaiah, I want to put these thoughts in your mind. Go to Isaiah chapter 45. And at the same time, go ahead and get Romans chapter 14. I don't always say it that way, but it might be helpful to do that. Isaiah 45 and Romans 14. I did go online at the Berean Bible Society. Pastor Sadler has passed away. His son, Kevin Sadler, now is president of Berean Bible Society. And it's funny, because I searched all their records of anything that they taught on Revelation 20, verse 12, out of the searchlight and all. And so I read where Pastor Sadler wrote some things, but he never tied us into the great white throne in that. Then I read where Kevin Sadler wrote on those verses, and he must have used his father's notes. The same sentences are there. So the father taught the son, but neither one tied us at the great white throne doing the judging. And so I really can't, the only way I can elaborate is that I would disagree with what Pastor Sadler said, unless there's verses. Now, Pastor Sadler has taught me some things, even in the book of Revelation. I had his commentary. In fact, I probably still do on cassette, but I probably couldn't find him and play him. But anyhow, he brought out things that I've never seen before. So he does, he might have a point, but I can't find out what his point is. I can't elaborate for him. When I look at it, I think he's wrong on this behalf. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. He says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength, even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory." But that in verse 23 there, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. So the whole point is God is going to be the judge at the great white throne judgment. But when we say God, compare that to Romans chapter 14, where that verse is quoted. And interesting, this Romans 14 is about us not judging one another, and that as members of the body of Christ, not judging the world, but it's about not judging your brother. It says, verse 10, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so that every one shall give account of himself to God." So when we give account, it's going to be given account to God. Now, this is the judgment seat of Christ. So every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father, as it says in the book of Philippians. But it's God who judges, and it's going to be Jesus Christ that they're actually going to stand before, the second person of the Godhead there, and give an account to. So I don't see that there has ever given an account to us or us judging, especially at the great white throne judgment. But we ourselves are going to go through a judgment. Now I'll get back to that, but first thing I want to do is just point out these verses that it looks like it's I don't see us at the great white throne judgment. I can't elaborate on that. Now, if you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, let me talk about that passage. Because there is a question that always comes up, and I checked every commentary of Grace Believers that I have, and there are about three or four, on 1 Corinthians 6, because this comes up quite often. Even here, like if I happen to hit this passage after church, I'll have two people come up and ask me the question. And it's a legitimate question. So the warning in 1 Corinthians 6 is not to go to court with one another, and that we should be able to judge within the body of Christ each other and not take it before the unsaved. So in verse 2 it says, Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? So it's the one thing that I want to point out to you is pay attention where it talks about it's talking about saints, then it's you, and then it's we. Now, I'm going to read verses 2 and 3 together, but pay attention to that. "Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things pertaining to this life?" When you look at that, I want to ask you the question. When we look at those saints, you, and we, how that's said that way, because I always get the question, when are we going to judge the world? And maybe that's where Pastor Sadler picks up on that and says, oh, well, it must be at the judgment seat of Christ, the world being the world of the unsaved. And so he must relate it over there, somehow connect it. But I often get the question asked to me is, how is it that we're going to judge the world? And when is that going to be? But I have an answer that I've never read before, because it is an interesting question, because it's, the world shall be judged by you. And then in verse 3, know ye not that we shall judge angels? And when I see that you switch to we, it kind of triggers something in my mind. For instance, let's ask the first question, who are the saints? So let me take you a couple passages. Come to Acts chapter 26. Paul talking about his conversion on the road to Damascus. It says in verse 16, the Lord speaking to the Apostle Paul, but arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of those things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So Paul's being sent from the Gentiles, delivered from the nation of Israel, the people, and being sent to the Gentiles to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they, that's the Gentiles, might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, what is a saint? A saint is a sanctified one. If you're still holding 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says over in verse 11 of chapter 6. It says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So the Gentiles are going to receive an inheritance among those that are sanctified, that is, among the saints. If you go to Ephesians chapter 2, and there's more verses than this. These two will make the point, though, especially Ephesians chapter 2. It says in verse 18 of Ephesians 2, for through him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, we both, that's Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye, that's the Gentiles, are no more strangers and foreigners. Now that'd be Gentile believers. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Well, the believing remnant of Israel, they make up the household of God before us. And now through grace, we become saved and part of the household of God. But not only do we become saved and part of the household of God, we also are sanctified, and as sanctified, ye are fellow citizens with the saints. We're citizens of God's kingdom. And not the earthly kingdom, we know the difference here, but anyhow, we become citizens of the kingdom of God, fellow citizens of the kingdom of God, with the saints, with the believing remnant of Israel and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth up into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Also, Israel already had that. And now we're part of the household of God. We're part of the habitation of God through the Spirit. And it's like what Romans says in, was it chapter 15, that we're partakers of their spiritual things. The spiritual blessings that Israel was given, we're part of today. So I say that so when I think about 1 Corinthians 16, and it says that the saints shall judge the world. Well, who will judge the earth, the people in the earth? Well, we know that that is God's calling for the nation of Israel. If you want to see a couple of verses about that, come over to Luke chapter 19. I'll quote a verse from Matthew. And by the way, this kind of ties into our study in the 11 o'clock hour, where I'm going to answer another question that was proposed. Luke chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19, verse 11, it says, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable unto them, because he was nigh unto Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear." So the kingdom of God on earth. "He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom in return, and he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come." Get busy doing the things you're supposed to do until I come back. "But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass when he was returned, having received the kingdom, he commanded his servants and called unto him his servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given money, that he might know how much every man gained by trading. Then came the first, saying unto him, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise unto him, be thou over 5 cities. And I'm going to stop there. The next guy gets thrown out. He don't get to go in at all because he don't know who the Lord really is. But the point is when Jesus Christ comes back and sets up his kingdom, they're going to have a place in that kingdom reigning. Now, when I say reign, the verse that in Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, Peter and them are saying, Lord, we followed you. What are we going to have in the kingdom? And he says, ye that have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you 12 will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now that judging of the 12 tribes of Israel. So the point is they're going to reign over cities and they're going to judge. Now, when they're going to reign and judge, think about when that is. That's after Jesus Christ comes back and sets up his kingdom. So if he sets up his kingdom, and in the tribulation, there's a judgment of the lost people. I mean, in fact, like when you read down here, the guy's cast in outer darkness. They're cast into the lake of fire. The Lord starts the kingdom with the believing remnant. Well, what are they judging? If everybody's the saints, what does it mean they're judging? Well, if the 12 apostles are going to judge the 12 tribes, and those tribes are going to be placed as kings and reign and judge, the judgment there is not a judgment of condemnation. It's not a great white throne judgment where they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. It's judge in the sense of govern. Because that's the people that are left, they're going to set up the kingdom, and the 12... There's a passage in Ezekiel that David is going to be king in Jerusalem. The 12 apostles are going to sit on 12 thrones. They're going to judge the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel, the saints, are going to judge the world. And so it has to do with how the kingdom is going to be set up when Jesus Christ comes back. And so when I read over there in 1 Corinthians, the saints shall judge the world, then I realize, well, that's it. The earthly part, that's Israel's part. The second part of that verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 6, it not only says, the saints shall judge the world, and if the world shall be judged by you. So when I read that, I'm thinking, is he saying, judged by you, the body of Christ? Or the saints, and remember the first saints were the nation of Israel, were also saints. So when he says saints, that's kind of a generic term. The saints shall judge the world. And if the world shall be judged by you, you who? You saints. Now, I don't think that's necessarily specifying body of Christ. That's why when you get to verse 3, know ye not that we shall judge the angels. Now, that's specific. That's pointing to the body of Christ and pointing out, look who we're going to judge. We're not just going to be Israel judging down here in the world. We're going to be raptured up into the heavens, and we're going to be judging in the heavens. And so the you there, when people ask me, how is it that we're going to judge the world? I don't think the you is you, the body of Christ. It's you saints. The saints shall judge the world. And if the world be judged by you, saints, how come you can't judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we, the body of Christ, shall judge the angels? And that's how I look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I don't tie us in that you being at the great white throne judgment and in that answer. So I don't know if that is acceptable for most, but when I look at that verse, that's the one thing that dawns on me is how many times we're called, Israel's called saints, and then we join them as saints. So it's a generic term. Saints is not just the body of Christ. It's all of God's people, everybody who's sanctified in Christ. And that's all believers. So anyhow, that's how I look at verse 6, and that's why I don't think, unless I can find in that commentary where Pastor Sadler elaborates a little bit more, I think that maybe he stretched from verse 2, the you shall judge the world, all the way over to the great white throne judgment, and I think that's too big of a stretch. Now, I have a question for you that comes out of that before we leave that. Come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Because when we talked about judgment, I believe all judgment is going to be before Jesus Christ as God. And not before, I don't think any, we're not going to judge. God's the judge. But the Apostle Paul gives a warning in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 concerning the judgment seat of Christ, which what we read out of Romans chapter 14. And it says, like in verse 14, well, I'll start in verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, we're not being judged for sin. You realize our works are, we've been saved unto good works, and at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be evaluated. That 1 Corinthians 14 is about the body of Christ. We're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and every person's going to give himself an account to God. So here, the way we're going to give an account, our works are going to be tried with fire. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So we're not gaining heaven, we're gaining a position in the heavens. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So, at the judgment seat of Christ, our works are going to be tried of what sort they are, and the fire is going to devour the works of the flesh, and they're going to be gone, and if there's no works left, we're going to suffer loss. Now, the question that I have, and I've said it for years, is, I'll put the question first. Is there going to be emotion at the judgment seat of Christ? Because what I've said for years when I've taught this passage of Scripture is that there is going to be a lot of shame and regret that our life has been lived for self rather than for the Lord. And everything that's been self is just going to be burned away. And whatever's done for the Lord is going to be left. And when you evaluate that, how much is going to be left? And with that evaluation, will there be shame at the judgment seat of Christ? And I've always thought there was. In fact, one time, in talking about Israel, when it talked about that guy who's cast away, it said there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I related that to the body of Christ, and Leon said, you didn't mean to do that, did you? I said, no, I did. Because I could see there'd be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see your life of service was evaluated by the Lord as not worth anything. So anyhow, we had some other people in the church that got on my case about that. And they got me thinking. that when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we're not standing there in our natural bodies. We're already raised and glorified in a body like unto Jesus Christ's body. So that when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ and say our works are burned up, that there's not going to be the emotion of regret and shame and disappointment, because we're in heaven in a glorified body. And so it made me rethink that. As I could see now, if I stood there right now and saw it, I would have those emotions. Would I have those emotions then? Well, for a long time, I thought, from their point of view, I thought, they got a point there. Because I'm in a different body, I'm going to think differently, I'm going to think like the Lord, and be glad that it got burned away, and so I'm just going to be rejoicing that all that flesh got burned away. But I always wondered, because when you read 2 Timothy 2:15, and by the way, the passage here up in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 3, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then he says, now if any man build upon this foundation, and he starts talking about gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble gets burned away. Gold, silver, precious stone will remain. But that verse 10, Paul's warning, be careful how you build. Because if you build upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrine of law or kingdom, that's going to be burned away. Well, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. We have to build on the foundation that Paul laid about Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And preachers who have preached all their life and not rightly divided, when they stand at the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Workmen, they worked hard, who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Which always impressed upon me that if we're going to give an account ourselves to God, and we're going to be working and serving the Lord, that there's some people that are going to be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. And I always took that verse to be that. Well, when they say, well, there's not going to be, we're not going to have that emotion at the judgment seat of Christ, all of a sudden it hit me. Do you remember what happened back in Noah's day when men lived sinfully on the earth? How it grieved God in his heart. Oh, God's got emotion. Do you remember Ephesians 4:30 that says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption? Is emotion something that we lose when in resurrected bodies? I don't think so. God has emotion. The Holy Spirit has emotion. And in our resurrected body, I'm looking back. I'll close with this. Come over to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3. Anyhow, I do believe there's going to be emotion there. And this is an interesting passage, because most of the time in Colossians, where's that other place? Ephesians. We're going to be presented holy and without blame before God in love, right? Well, watch this passage. In the end of every chapter in Thessalonians, it talks about the coming of the Lord. And it says, verse 12, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Well, we're going to be presented holy and without blame. But this passage is saying, to the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable. Your heart unblameable. Do you think when the Lord comes back, if you haven't practiced verse 12, that your heart will condemn you? That you haven't lived properly for the Lord? I mean, because that, to the end that, he may be, your heart may be unblameable in holiness before God. It might not be unblameable in holiness before God when the Lord comes back and you haven't practiced Christian love toward others. So anyhow, there's a couple verses that would make me think about that. So I took Greg's question and kind of made it a little bit bigger, trying to answer my own question about the judgment seat of Christ. So, room for thought. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for your Bible that has answers to questions. Sometimes we have to dig, and certainly sometimes we have to let things ride for a long time as we think about them. But eventually we come across a verse, and we thank you that you've revealed things to our minds and actually challenge us concerning our life, that we would not be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ, that our hearts would be unblameable before him in love. And so thank you for the truths that we looked at today, and keep guiding us and helping us to grow. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.